Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. I want to take a look at this verse today and just take a little bit of time just to dive in to Isaiah chapter 55 today. And I want to give you a little bit of context. I think if we're honest when it comes to things in life, how many of you know we tend to like it our way, right? Our way. Tell me if you've heard this one before. Maybe it's the old saying, there are only two ways to do this. My way and the wrong way. My way or the wrong way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe you felt like that. Maybe you've said that before. Or like Frank Sinatra, you know the old song, right? What's it? I did it my way. I can't sing like him, right? I did it my way. We like to do things our way. We like things our way. But that verse says is that God's ways are not our ways, that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. You're very participatory today. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Chuck Swindoll, who's a nationally known pastor and speaker, has some radio programs and things. One time he was telling a story about a time when his youngest son was about 4 to 5 years of age. He'd been learning how to tie his shoes, and as he was getting down and tying his shoes, he'd always forget sometimes how to undo the laces when he would tie his shoes. And he'd end up getting a knot that he couldn't get out. And rather than take the shoe to his father for help, he would just take the two ends and he'd pull as hard as he could. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? And he'd pull and pull and pull until the knot was the tiniest, tiniest, tiniest it could hardly be, where only a miracle could get it out. And then he'd finally bring it to his dad frustrated and said, can you help me get this knot out? And his dad would say, why didn't you bring, I tell you, bring the shoe to me sooner before the knot is that tight. Then I'll be able to untie it. I'll be able to get it out. But how many of you know that sometimes that's the way we handle things in life, right? We try to fix things. We want to do things our way. And we make a mess of things that makes it really difficult sometimes to get out, right? Yeah, so sometimes we try to pull harder, but the results don't quite measure up. Sometimes we end up with a knot we can't handle, problems we can't fix, frustration we didn't plan on. Newton's third law of motion, the science lesson. How many kids love science? Any kids love science today? No, okay. I didn't like science either when I was in school. I know. Sorry, Dave Porter, who is a science teacher, middle school science teacher. Sorry about that. Newton's third law of motion says for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. How many have heard that before? So there are times where there are actions that we take, things that we take, but they don't oftentimes produce the results that we desire. Sometimes those things result in fruitlessness. Sometimes the decisions that we make can either have positive or negative results. There are times where we need to reevaluate sometimes our priorities. What's important in life? How many know that human nature can be selfish, right? We want what we want. We want what we desire. Selfish desires can cause our focus in life to change, and we can go in a direction that's opposite of that which God intended for us. It's easy to focus on things that we think are important only to find out later on that maybe they weren't the right priorities or the things that we should have been setting our plans or our ways on. And sometimes it's not what we want, but what God wants. God is sovereign. He sees things differently than we do. Let me give you a little bit of context to this faith verse that our kids opened up with today about God's ways not being our ways, his thoughts not being our thoughts. In fact, his ways are higher. His ways are better than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What's the context of that? The context in Isaiah 55, if you look back at verse 1, is actually an invitation. Does anybody like to receive invitations? Yeah. Let me talk to the kids for a moment. How many like to get invitations to birthday parties or sleepovers? Any kids like an invitation to birthday parties and sleepovers? Yeah, we like that. All right, HoCo's coming up, homecoming. For those of you that don't know what HoCo is, Hashtag HOCO. How many of our students, you can't wait for that invitation, that HOCO announcement? Anybody, right? I see some smiles over here. Some of you are like, I didn't get an invitation to HOCO. Stop talking about that, Pastor Aaron, right? There are some of our eligible young ladies that did not get an invitation to HOCO. If there's any eligible young men. No, just, Pastor, don't do that. Some of the parents are like, no. Right? Don't do that. We love invitations. As adults, we love to get invitations, wedding invitations, baby shower invitations, wedding shower invitations. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. But when you're not on the list and you don't get the invite, but somebody else gets the invite, how many know you feel left out? Anybody ever feel left out? We like invitations. Invitations make us feel special. Well, today I want you to know that the context of this scripture verse about God's ways being better than our ways and not like ours and his thoughts being higher comes in the context of an invitation. God is inviting his people to something. He's inviting them to something better. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2 says this, "Come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, he who has no money." Oh, that's good. "Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk and money without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor on that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food." Man, what is this talking about? As we consider this passage, I think there's three important questions that we need to consider. Number one, who is this invitation for? Who's being invited? Who's invited to this? I think the answer, if we look at this, is two different kinds of people. Verse 1 describes the first one. "Come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." What are we talking about? What's the first kind of person that we're talking about here? God invites thirsty people, and God invites people who are broke. Yeah, people who are broke. How many in here, you say, "I'm broke, I qualify." No, don't raise your hands. I know. Some of you are like, "Yeah, that's me." Some of you teenagers are like, "That's me. I don't have a part-time job that pays my bills," right? In an economy like this, how many of us are broke? Anyway, God invites people, right, who are thirsty, and who are broken. Let me just say a word to those of you who are in this category today. When we talk about thirsty, maybe the thirst that's happening is a thirst in your heart. Maybe it's not a physical thirst right now. Maybe you have a bottle of water that you got when you come in, but spiritually you're thirsty. Spiritually you're parched. Spiritually your life is just feels like that brown grass on a hot summer day when it hasn't rained for a while. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe a lot of old hopes have dried up. Maybe some dreams have withered and died. You've been at a place where you thought, "I should be this place in my life, and I'm not. I had some hopes, and they've been damaged. I had some things, and they haven't ended up like I thought they would. Some dead-end streets in the way, empty, unfulfilled, dissatisfied, knowing and feeling maybe that there's got to be more to life. You find yourself in a place where you are thirsty. You find yourself in a place where you just believe there's got to be more to life. On top of that, maybe you look and you just feel like, "You know what? Everything, it looks good, but I'm broke. I just don't even know where to go. No money, no strength, no motivation, no longing, a thirst." Jesus has an invitation to you today. He says, "Come to me." If you're in a place where you're thirsty, if you're in a place where you're broke, maybe you're broken, you're thirsty and broken today, Jesus invites you to come today. He has given an invitation to you to come today and to receive from him. Everyone who thirsts, everyone who has no money, everyone who has no resources, no bargaining, no track record, no power, no prestige, no pool. Listen, this message and this invitation is for you. God is inviting you to come this morning to get what you need. The second person that God has given the invitation to are the self-sufficient. So if you say, "Well, I'm not thirsty and I'm not broken," maybe you fall into this category today. This is the person described in verse 2. "Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, your labor on that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food." So again, going back to verse 1, what do we hear in verse 1? "He who has no money, come." Now, this is a person that has money and actually has strength to be able to labor. That person is not at the end of their rope. That person has some things that they are able to, they have some money that they can use. And they have some strength that they can give to be able to work. They are not bankrupt. This is the person that's not bankrupt spiritually. They're not thirsty or broke, but they're the kind of person that continues to spend and continues to labor. The problem is they do so with frustration. In all of the efforts and all of the things that they have, trying to find what they're looking for and the satisfaction they've been looking for has turned up empty. They have the money, they have the strength, they have some resources, but the way in which they're choosing to do that is ending up fruitless in their life. I'm not like the other guy. I'm not burnt out. I'm not broken, but I'm still spending. I'm still working. I'm still dreaming. I'm still chasing. I'm still searching. I'm still experimenting. Maybe it's a different job and a different city and a different car, but the results are still the same. Maybe it's a different house or a different wife or a new computer or a new boat or new books or new bike or new grill or new season tickets or new diet or new looks. I just got to get a new look in my life. And no matter what, you keep chasing, 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 yet nothing is satisfying you. Nothing is satisfying. There's no joy. The triumph fades, the applause goes away, the new purchase is boring, the new style passes, everything gets old, the options get fewer and fewer. See, there's two people that this invitation is for. The invitation is for those that are thirsty and broke. The invitation are those that continue to spend but find themselves empty and unsatisfied with the ways in which this world has to offer. You see, there's a way in which this world says you ought to live. There's a way in which this world says this is success. This is joy. This is meaning. This is what's going to bring peace in your life. This is what's going to give you everything you've been looking for right here, all in a box, the American dream. This is it. And you keep chasing after it the way that the world says to chase after it, but you find yourself unsatisfied, or you find yourself broke, or you find yourself broken, or you find yourself thirsting for more, saying, there's got to be more. Is this all there is? And if you're in that place, whether you are the one that still has the money and the strength, but you're unsatisfied, or maybe you're on the other side and you're broken and thirsty and you've come in today and you're ready to give up, there's an invitation for you from God. He says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. I think everybody in this room could admit to being in one of these two groups at one time, if not today in your life. So what are we offered? What are we offered? What's the invitation that we're being offered today? Well, look back at verse 1 again. Come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. When we look at the meaning behind the water and the milk, some translations include wine as well that's being offered. Water corresponds to refreshment. I like to watch different survival shows and different things. And when people are thirsty, if they're out in the desert or they're thirsty, doesn't matter what kind of drink is offered. The thing that's going to bring the most refreshment is what? Water. On a dry and thirsty day, it's water. Water is what nourishes. Water is what refreshes the most dehydrated. Psalm 23, 2 and 3 declares, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. God is leading us in these passages today as a good shepherd to green pastures today. He wants to lead us beside the still waters, and I love it. He wants to restore our soul. God has come to bring refreshment to the soul. Friends, you might need refreshment for your soul today. You're thirsty and you're dry, and Jesus invites you to come as the good shepherd because he wants to lead you in his way in places that will bring nourishment to your soul. Milk corresponds to the need for ongoing nourishment. If you're grasping for your life, you might need water, but in order for you to be able to grow, I mean, think about it. If you're young, a young baby, you've got a young baby, what do they need? They need milk to be able to nourish and to be able to grow. Milk is the nourishment that we need to nourish us for strength. God is not just there for emergencies. Let me say that again. God is not just there for emergencies. He wants to grow you in your life. He's there for your health. your spiritual health. There's things in his word for your physical health. There's things in his word for your emotional health, for your mental health. Why? Because God has created you to live abundantly, abundantly, abundantly. It's not just about having good finances according to the way of this world. There is a whole lot that goes into making us healthy as people that includes spiritually and emotionally and mentally, relationally, financially. Guess what? There are treasures in his word that allow us to be able to experience the abundant life that he has promised us in his word. Wine corresponds to the need for exhilaration, right? We want to live and not die, but we want to be strong and stable, not weak and wavering. But how many of you know that God has created us for a life of adventure? He's created us to enjoy it. And there are things that he wants us to enjoy and to walk by faith and things to be able to see and experience the exhilaration that he wants to promise in our life. Life is it, we're a Pentecostal church. That's why we shout. That's why we clap, right? I know some of you get excited about that. Come on, singing and dancing and playing and skipping and running. The scriptures say the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. There is joy in salvation. There's joy in salvation. You ought to enjoy your relationship with Jesus. If your relationship with Jesus is all about guilt because you never feel like you measure up, you've missed the relationship part of this. You're living life more as a slave than as a son or a daughter of God. God has invited us into relationship that we might enjoy him and be enjoyed by him, enjoy our relationship with him. You ought to have joy in your salvation. When you walk in, I'm not talking about a false joy. Life is hard sometimes. But if you're a believer in Jesus, but you're not living victoriously, you're constantly living at a level where you just kind of have to feel like you got to, praise the Lord, brother. Yep, just sacrificing every single day. Hallelujah. Then you've missed what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. There is joy in Jesus. There's a few of you saying amen. There's a few of you saying ouch. Right? Isaiah 55, 2, the last half. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. The word good means that what God has to offer is top quality, right? It's top quality. In fact, the word rich food here actually means fatness. In that way, when you were to eat an animal, if you got the fat, that was like the fat of the lamb, that meant you got the richness. There's a lot to it. What God offers us is rich. It's good and it's plentiful. It's good. The Bible talks about the riches of God's glory, the fullness of joy at God's right hand. He gives what is best and he never runs out. There was a spiritually dry Samaritan woman at a well in John chapter 4. She had been broken in her life. She had had dreams that didn't pan out. She was feeling a bit unsatisfied. Listen to the invitation that Jesus gives. Whoever drinks of the water that I give you will never thirst again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's what Jesus offers us. So the last question, how do we receive the invitation? How do we receive what God is wanting to give us? How do we follow? How do we take advantage of this invitation and be able to experience the rich things, the good things that God desires us to have and find ourselves in a place where our thirst is quenched with the waters of life? How do we find ourselves where we're no longer striving after things that do not satisfy, that leave us empty and broken? Well, here's where we end up today in verse 6. He says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. There's four action words. And this is what I'm going to close with, and then we're going to eat Four action words, because some of you brought some good things. I saw it when they were coming in. Made me hungry before we ever started. Four action words in these two verses that I think are really important to providing a map for being able to receive what Jesus wants and offers us today. The first word is seek. It's right in the beginning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord. What does the word seek mean? It's the Hebrew word derash, and it means to do repeatedly and study. To read something repeatedly and study. A related word to this ancient word means to beat a path. To beat a path. How many of you know that there are some times where they don't put sidewalks and people take shortcuts, right? And as they take those shortcuts regularly, what do? They create a path. They beat a path to where they want to go. They beat a path to where they want to go. That's kind of the meaning of this word. To seek the Lord means that we beat a path there. It means, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. Okay, God, I'm going to start coming back to church. And I do it once. Maybe I come back a second time. 2 weeks in a row. Man, didn't I do good? Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, I kind of get off track. And then I kind of show up about, 6 weeks later. Praise the Lord. And then I kind of show up at Christmas and Easter. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's not seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord is that I start to do it regularly. I start to be the path there. Lord, I'm going to get back and I'm going to read your word. I'm going to get back and I'm going to pray. And you start out one day, 2 day, 3 day. All right. And then pretty soon you kind of get off and then you get it here. And then all of a sudden a problem comes. Oh, let me open it up again. Let me kind of get back. That's not seeking. Seeking is beating a path there. It means doing something repeatedly. It's kind of like a treasure. In 1622, a Spanish ship, Our Lady of Atocha, sailed from the Spanish colonies in the New World back to Spain. The Atocha was laden with so much gold from the mines in America that it had taken 2 months to load it all onto the ship. And now what is now called the Florida Keys, as they set sail and were down there around the Florida Keys, just like what happened this past week, a hurricane suddenly came up and the Atocha sunk. For centuries, that vast treasure was hidden somewhere underwater until an American by the name of Mel Fisher was determined to find it. He outfitted a ship. He recruited divers. He used the most modern technology at the time to search under the ocean. Fisher crisscrossed the waters of the Florida Keys beginning in 1969, but after years of searching, he found nothing. He was determined to continue, but 2 years went by. Nothing. He continued. 5 years went by. No success. 10 years went by. Nothing. 15 years went by. Countless thousands of dollars spent. No Atocha. But on the 16th year of crisscrossing, the searching and diving after much disappointment, 16 years later, they found a large portion of the treasure of the Atocha in 1985. With its amazing treasure that was worth millions of dollars. In fact, just one of those rings recovered from the Atocha was valued at over $500,000. Over $500,000. He did not give up. 16 years, continuing to do it until he discovered that treasure. And he did that for a treasure that doesn't last. You know that in 1998, he passed away. 1985, he found the treasure. 1998, he passed away. How much of that treasure was he able to take with him? Yet, the Bible tells us that there's a treasure in Jesus Christ that we have that is eternal, right? How much more ought we to beat a path and seek the Lord who satisfies us? Second, call, Isaiah 55, 6, call upon him while he is near. Call upon him. That means to call out with your voice. It's a form of prayer, calling out and asking for help. David models this, Psalm 18, 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry reached his ears. Friends, I want to tell you, if you are in need today, if you are dry, if you are empty, if you are finding yourself unsatisfied, Scripture says, seek the Lord and call upon him while he may be found. Call upon the Lord. Seek the Lord while he is near. Call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. You seek the Lord. You call upon the Lord. Oh, but here's the one that we don't like that goes with our faith verse. Forsake your way. Yeah, if you can't say amen, say ouch. I learned that from my friend Cornell. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Ouch. Right? God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The key to receiving the good things from the Lord that quench our thirsty soul, that nourish us and feed us and satisfy the deepest longings of our heart come when we learn to forsake our own way that leads us down these same paths and begin to follow the way of the Lord. Jesus says in Matthew 7:13-14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. This world has a way in which it says we ought to live a life that satisfies or leads to happiness and joy. You might say, but Pastor Aaron, isn't everybody doing it? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Think about it. What is normal for most people's schedules today? Being overwhelmed, rushed, stressed, panicked, never enough time for the things that are truly important, constantly overwhelmed by the urgent, missing out on the true quality of life. That's normal today. That's the way everybody lives, right? That's normal. What's normal when it comes to money? Let's be really honest, right? A pursuit of material things which never make us happy. Normal is being broke. Normal is being in debt. Normal is financial fear. Normal is fighting about money. Think about a professional life today. What's normal? Working for a paycheck? Doing something you don't really like to get by so that you can get the things that never last? Normal's feeling like there's got to be something more and never quite figuring out what it is. What's normal in relationships? Hopping from bed to bed to bed with different people until you finally get married? Then 7 years into the marriage, realizing it's not what you thought it was going to be and it doesn't work out anymore, so getting a divorce, and like half the people in our country do today. Friends, how many know normal isn't working? Proverbs 14:12. Ooh, I got ouch today. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. There are many people that are doing what this world says to do. This is the way to do it. This is what the world said to do. This is what Dr. Phil and Oprah said to do. This is what I'm doing, right? And yet it leads us broken and it leaves us thirsty and it leaves us unsatisfied. But God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So what are we invited to do in this invitation? Isaiah 55:7, return. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God that he will abundantly pardon. Listen, God is not like us. If somebody wrongs us, somebody hurts us, somebody does something and they go their own way, we're most likely to say, you know what? You get what you deserve. I tried to warn you, but you didn't listen to me. You get what you deserve. But this says that God is a God of compassion. God is not like us. His thoughts are not like our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. When we want to cut people off, God says, oh no, love them anyway. Invite them anyway. Receive them back anyway. It's kind of like the prodigal son, right? He took and demanded some things from his father, treated his father like he was dead. I want the inheritance already. Then went out and wasted it, right? But when he was a long way off, He started to realize, I'm in the pit. I'm eating the things the pigs are eating. And when he was in that place, he said, you know what? My father's servants are treated better than I am. I'll just go and beg my father that I might be a servant. And as he started to make his way, his father was looking for him. And his father ran to him. And his father embraced him. And that's the kind of compassion that our father has. That when we're willing to forsake our ways, when we're willing to seek him and call out to him and return to him, he is there waiting with compassion to throw his arms around us, to put his ring and say, oh no, you're not a slave. You're not a servant, you're my son. You're my son. You're my son. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Friends, that's good news. That's good news. That's good news today. If you're thirsty, if you're broken, worship team, will you come? There's an invitation to something better. There's an invitation to a banquet where God wants to give you living water, where God wants to supply you with the food that is the richest of the rich. God wants to satisfy your parched soul today. He wants to satisfy your parched soul today. He wants you to experience his compassion and his mercy today. Will you seek him? Will you call upon him? Will you examine your ways and say, I got to forsake this way and I've got to return to following my heavenly Father, whose ways are better than my ways and whose thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. One final little story. A small boy sat quietly at the seat of a coach train, on the coach of a train. It was running between two western cities, and it was a very hot, dry day. There was dusty, and it was uncomfortable. And the section of time, a place he was in, it wasn't much to look at. There really wasn't much going on. It was kind of boring, and he sat there patiently watching the fields and the fences as they were hurrying by. And finally, a motherly older lady came, and leaning forward, she asked him sympathetically, aren't you tired of the long ride, dear, and the dust and the heat? And that young boy looked up at her brightly and replied with a smile, yes, ma'am, a little, but I don't mind it much because my Father is going to meet me when I get to the end of it. Friends, you're on a journey and your Father is ready to meet you at the end of it. Your Father is ready to meet you at the end of it. You might be dry. You might be broken. You might be feeling unsatisfied today. And God is inviting you today to come, to seek him, to call upon him, to forsake your way and the ways you've been pursuing, and to begin to return and embrace his ways, ways that are truly satisfying to you, ways in which will bring health like you don't know it to your life, spiritual health that will nourish your soul, emotional health and healing that you need in your life, mental health that you need, repair and healing for your relationships. God is inviting you to come to experience the richness of his goodness today. And I want to invite you today to receive that invitation. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you're here this morning and you'd say, you know, I need to receive that invitation. I've been going my own way. I'm dry. Maybe I'm broken. Maybe you're here today. You say, I'm unsatisfied. I recognize my ways have not led to what I thought they would. But today, I want to forsake those ways. I want to call upon the Lord today. I want to return to Jesus today. I need to return to my heavenly Father who's waiting with compassion to embrace me. If that's you, will you slip up your hand today? You want to return and receive Jesus today. Yeah, thank you. I need to return to Jesus today. I need to return to Jesus. Come on, let's call upon the Lord. Will you call upon him with me? I'm going to lead you in prayer, but will you call upon the Lord? If that's you today, will you call upon the Lord? Dear Jesus, I come to you today, and I am broken today. And I am thirsty today, and I find myself unsatisfied. I've gone my own way, and today I'm returning to you. I ask you today to forgive me. Forgive me of the ways that I've walked. Forgive me of the sins that I've committed, the iniquities against you. I ask you for your forgiveness and grace and compassion today. I ask you to come and to fill me with the good things that you have promised in your word. Lord, I need your living water today. Father, I need your green pastures today. Father, I need a nourishment for my soul today. Jesus, I need what you have to offer in my life today. So I call out to you and I seek you today and I say, I'm going to forsake my ways and I'm going to embrace and return to your ways and I'm going to trust in you today. I trust in you, Jesus, and I receive your invitation. Fill me with your joy today. Fill me with your peace today. fill me with your hope today. Fill me with your life today. I want you and nothing else. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.